there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Week 12 is in the books. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Sunday night, although not last week. Thank you very much to Joey P for filling in for me while I was on a trip. But most Sunday nights, I am here with Andrew Erickson and Dr. Deepak Chona. Erickson, how does your fantasy day treating you?
It's treating me very well. Played some Justin Herbert and some DFS, and he played pretty well. And I for some reason, played DeAndre Carter, too, and he did really good, too. So I'm feeling good.
Did you have Josh Jacobs anywhere with his another massive day?
No, I was coward because of the calf injury. I was a coward, just like many people were, and they got burned by Jacobs.
Deepak, how about you?
Mine's going to come down to some nail biters Sunday and Monday night, so TBD on how we go.
We will see how it goes. For those watching the show live on YouTube, thank you. We will be here every Sunday night around 7:45 Eastern all season long. If you're watching us here on youtube.com/fantasypros, please give us a like and be sure to subscribe to help us out. If you enjoy our content, click the bell to get notified of all of our latest podcasts, short videos, and live streams. And for the folks listening on the podcast, don't forget we are live each and every Sunday night, so you can watch us along with every other Fantasy Pros podcast over on our YouTube channel. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. Let's get into the injuries. We had a lot of small injuries today, guys leaving games and coming back in, but not a lot of seemingly significant injuries. We'll start with the biggest name at the top, and that's Travis Etienne, who left in the first quarter of the Jags-Ravens game with a foot injury. The Jaguars never actually ruled him out of this game, but he was seen on the sideline, not with his helmet, and it seemed pretty apparent that he was never coming back in. What did you see here, Deepak?
Yeah, you know, the most common thing here would be a midfoot sprain, but the thing that's really reassuring is that he was bearing weight on the ankle. He wasn't seen in crutches or a boot, and these sorts of things sort of suggest a lower severity injury. Usually you're looking at 0 to 2 weeks, so there's a good chance that he is ready to play, and his comments suggest that he's going to try to play next week. So overall, that's kind of what we're looking for from Etienne.
Erickson, if Etienne were to miss time, how excited would you be about JaMychal Hasty?
I think I'd be pretty excited to pick him up. You know, JaMychal Hasty has been the receiving back, you know, as long as Travis Etienne has still been the number one running back there. And we see every week, like, JaMychal Hasty makes splash plays in the receiving game. And where we know that it's in Etienne's ability to do so, he still really hasn't really hit the ceiling of a receiver that we want. And Hasty continues to show out as a receiver. So if he were to inherit this three down workload, obviously the Jaguars added Daryl Henderson after he got cut from the Rams. So that's another new wrinkle to it. But I do think that JaMychal Hasty would be an interesting guy to definitely spend big on waivers.
Another running back dealing with, in this case, an ankle injury, Michael Carter. Everybody was really excited about him going into the game, especially with James Robinson, a healthy scratch. and then he got hurt. Deepak, do you have anything here?
Yeah, so it's hard to tell from the video, but the video is a little concerning for a high ankle sprain, which for a running back is usually a multi-week absence. Even the moderate severity ones are 2 to 4 weeks. So we'll know a little bit more. So far, all they're saying is ankle. They're not specifying high and low, but we'll know a little bit more once they come out with some information on that.
Erickson, who's the running back to target in this backfield? Is it, I mean, James Robinson, obviously, as a healthy scratch, you would think it's not him. He's the biggest name in the backfield, though. If Carter misses time, who's the guy you're going after?
Well, it's interesting because James Robinson could have been a healthy scratch because he doesn't play on special teams. Like, we see this all the time where guys don't get to play because they're not a special teams contributor. Whereas Zonovan Knight, you know, he was returning kicks. So he has a role in this Jets offense. Now, I think that Ty Johnson's not going away. I think Ty Johnson is entrenched as like the favorite of the receiving backs. And I think it's probably going to be between Zonovan Knight and James Robinson kind of working in on early down. So there's really no clear cut guy. Zonovan Knight, you know, I kind of had to look back at my rookie profile of him because he was a guy that, you know, not a lot of people know. You know, he was a committee back at NC State, really kind of broke at an early age, but didn't do a ton to obviously invest in high draft capital. So I think it's probably just going to be a committee between the three backs. With Michael Carter out of the picture for a couple weeks, potentially.
Another guy with an ankle injury, Darnell Mooney. Deepak, what did you see here?
So this looked on the more sort of moderate to severe end of the spectrum, and it did look like a high ankle sprain. He had to be helped off a little bit. So it suggests that he may be in for at least about a 2 week absence, sometimes more.
Erickson, obviously the passing game for Chicago looked a little different today. There was a lot of rain and, of course, no Justin Fields. Assuming Fields is back healthy moving forward, how would you say that the Mooney injury impacts that passing game?
I think it just, you know, Cole Kmet led the team targets today, 7 targets. I think that's probably what you're going to be more to expect. Tight end is horrible. And even though Cole Kmet got the targets today, he did nothing with them. So I think that he's a streamer type of player, and then Chase Claypool becomes kind of interesting because he's probably has the biggest name brand, because every other Bears receiver from Byron Pringle to Dante Pettis to Equanimee St. Brown, like, those are just Jags. So Claypool actually has a nice skill set, you know, as a perimeter wide receiver, so I'd be interested in kind of stashing him to see how things kind of play out, but it's Cole Kmet and really nobody else.
And then Deepak, I want to ask you about an injury that didn't take place today, but we just got news right as we were going live tonight. Allen Robinson to miss the rest of the season, according to Sean McVay, because he's going to get foot surgery. Do you know anything about this injury? What can you tell us?
Yeah, so he has a stress fracture in a bone in his foot, and they're going to basically put a screw across it to try to get the fracture to heal. And this is usually pretty successful, assuming things go well. Return to sports usually 3 to 4 months at early and 6 months at latest. And wide receivers, this by the time next season would start, we would expect him to be at full strength without any major sort of durability risk from this.
Okay, so it sounds like there's not a long-term concern here, but Erickson, he's been quite bad this season. Would you be interested, a severe discount, obviously, but in drafting him as a flyer late in rounds next year?
You mean like how Kenny Galladay was like an interesting flyer in the late? No, I mean, look, you know, once the milk's gone spoiled, it doesn't unspoil, in my opinion. So Allen Robinson, back-to-back years. You know, he had a better quarterback this year. He still couldn't get it done. So I think I'm going to be moving away from Allen Robinson.
You can see some of the injuries here. Obviously, Justin Fields did not play today. Damian Harris had a thigh injury. That was back on Thursday with Thanksgiving. And then just to run through some other names here, because like I said, there were a lot of small injuries today. Derek Carr had like a hit on the ribs, but he only missed one play. Tyreek Hill had cramping. Jeff Wilson left the game but returned. And as Erickson pointed out in the pre-show, he returned when they were already up by a lot and didn't even have Tua on the field. So that seems likely that he's okay there long term. Tyler Boyd left the game but returned. Chase Claypool went into the medical tent, but he, after the game, said it wasn't an injury, just a tweak of something. Christian Kirk left the game briefly and returned. Deebo Samuel was getting looked at one point. Elijah Mitchell left the game with a knee injury. And Josh Jacobs, of course, came back and blew up, but he had a calf issue, returned, and at one point was questionable to come back. That's all the injuries we got. Like I said, there was a lot of them. We will say goodbye for 30 seconds and be right back. Thanks again, Deepak, for joining us.
See ya.
Want to dominate your fantasy football leagues? Well, then you need My Playbook, available only from Fantasy Pros. Struggling with the waiver wire? My Playbook lets you see who the top available players are week to week. Can't decide who to start? Compare your players side by side with detailed breakdowns and projections for each week of your fantasy season. And it's all included with your premium subscription to Fantasy Pros. So sign up today at fantasypros.com or download our free My Playbook app to your Apple or Android device. Erickson, let's get into it. Your favorite segment, the headlines of the day. Let's start with quarterback.
You must respect to law. Talking about Trevor Lawrence here. Sorry about your Ravens. I hate to see the beatdown, yeah. But Trevor Lawrence in Duval County delivered a big win today. 321 passing yards for Trevor Lawrence, 3 touchdowns, including the game winner to Marvin Jones, and then the 2-point conversion to Zay Jones. Zay Jones had a massive game. You know, Christian Kirk was not the number one receiver for the Jaguars. It was Zay Jones. So guys stepping up all around, and Trevor Lawrence, you know, just a lot of question marks about this rookie or this second year quarterback class, you know, from Mac Jones to Zach Wilson to Justin Field, just up and down. It seems like all year is a roller coaster, and the roller coaster continues with Trevor Lawrence, but I think that his has been the highest of in terms of consistency all year long.
Yeah, as somebody, you know, in the fantasy space, it was really exciting to see Trevor Lawrence have this big breakout game against a defense that early in the season looked pretty bad against the pass, but has looked really strong lately since the trade deadline, since they've gotten healthy in the secondary. So this was really impressive, and a lot of these great passes came in the fourth quarter in crunch time. So again, as a Jaguars fan, as a fan of young talent in the league, it was fun to see, but you know, at what cost coming against the Ravens, another 2-score collapse for them late in the game. Let's move to running back where, I mean, we've already said his name a few times today, but this one's pretty obvious.
He plays better when he seems like he's on the injury report. I'm not sure what his final stat line was because the game was still on when I pulled these stats. I know he had at least 32 carries for at least 140 rushing yards, and he had 6 for 74 through the air. So just a monster game for Josh Jacobs.
So let me tell you the stat line, because you said 32 carries for 140 yards. It ended up 33 carries, 229 yards, because he had the 86-yard walk-off touchdown in overtime. So he
I was missing. I was like, what's going on? Oh, okay.
He finished
wow.
Literally 33 carries, again, 229 yards. That's 6.9 on average per carry, 2 touchdowns, and long of 86. And he also, oh, by the way, had 6 catches for 74 yards in this one. We haven't always seen him involved in the passing game. He was today.
Man, that is the, I think the fantasy community as a whole, you know, a lot of people didn't like Josh Jacobs. You know, I wasn't necessarily high on Josh Jacobs, and you know, it's one of the rare occurrences where the talent really was the play here with Josh Jacobs falling. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out, like an Antonio Gibson, like type of scenario where they do draft another guy and he's going to take touches away from him. But you know, Josh Jacobs flashed the receiving upside last year and we all just kind of just ignored it. And, yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs, but it's going to be interesting to see where he goes next year, especially if he's not on the Raiders, he's on a new team. He'll be a very polarizing player to talk about. But for right now, I mean, every week he's a top 5 running back.
Well, he was sort of not the poster boy, but one of the poster boys for the running back dead zone in drafts this year. I have him on 0 teams. I think I'm in 11 leagues this year. In none of them do I have Josh Jacobs. So it's killing me how well he's doing. Just to put into context his fantasy output today, in half PPR scoring, and you can find this up-to-date weekly leaders on Fantasy Pros game day each and every week. Nick Chubb is second this week in half PPR, 19.7 points. Josh Jacobs is first, 45 and a third points. He is just absolutely obliterate, and he has more points than the second and third guy on this list combined. Just an absolute monster day by him. Let's move to your wide receiver.
And Godwin we trust. Looking at Chris Godwin here, big day. He's coming off a game where he had another big day, so the Buccaneers had a bye week, but Chris Godwin still sucking up all those targets, but we're finally seeing it turn into more efficient receiving yardage. So 12 catches today, 110 receiving yards on a team high, 13 targets, 31% target share. And this is what we were hoping for. Like, he was getting all the volume. It just wasn't turning into production. Okay, now he finally started scoring touchdowns. He's finally actually converting his targets into yards. So Chris Godwin is someone that, yeah, you can feel really good about as a top 15 guy, especially in PPR, feeling really good about moving forward.
Yeah, he looked absolutely awesome today. And you said comfortable top 15. I want you to put a more specific number on it. Where would you have him ranked right now, just shooting from the hip, rest of season?
I will put him at 12. Put him in the wide receiver one conversation.
He certainly looked like he deserved that today. And then lastly, give me your tight end.
The David Njoku's on you. For those that were worried about Harrison Bryant, you know, running more routes and playing more snaps. Now, that could be true. I still haven't looked at those numbers in particular, but looking at the way David Njoku's final stat line was, 5 catches for 29 yards on 7 targets. Now, the yardage wasn't there, but oh my God, this guy just snags this one-handed catch in the end zone for a touchdown score. And it's just reasons like that why we got so excited about David Njoku and why I was absolutely devastated when he went down with the injury a couple weeks back. But I held on to him everywhere I owned him because I was like, I'm not moving off this guy. The minute that Trevor Siemian was named the quarterback, I swapped out Cole Kmet, put in David Njoku, did not care about whether he was fully healthy or not. He's fully healthy, and he is a tight end, top eight tight end rest of the season, no doubt in my mind.
And obviously the big, expectation in Cleveland next week, we're going to see Deshaun Watson back in the field, regardless of how you feel about whether or not he should be on the field, given his off-field transgressions. He is an improvement at quarterback. How much more excited are you about Njoku with Watson on the field?
Yeah, it's going to change a lot of things, as we've seen before, as we get into talking about the New York Jets. A quarterback change can really change a lot of things for fantasy purposes. So I think it makes Njoku's ceiling that much higher. Maybe even kind of puts him in potentially into the elite tier of tight ends. You know, no one is really on Travis Kelce's level. You know, even Mark Andrews, I think, is in a tier of his own, just right below Travis Kelce. But I do think that David Njoku has a chance to kind of enter into that next tier of, hey, he's not just a tight end you have to start, or like, I have no one else to play. He's someone that maybe you can feel good about and actually can help you win some of your matchups moving forward.
Matchup recaps.
Let's get into the early afternoon slate. I want to start with Jags 28, Ravens 27, just so we can go quickly through this one and get it out of the way. We already talked about Trevor Lawrence as sort of my big takeaway. Third straight week as a top 12 QB after kind of a dip in the middle of the season. He's looked really good in the last 3 weeks, although there was a buy in there. So in the last 4 weeks, some other notes, Zay Jones, 11 catches for 114 yards. TMI 14 targets, also caught the 2-point conversion, even though he didn't get in the end zone for a touchdown. Just looked like really good. Is he the wide receiver one in this offense, or is it still Christian Kirk?
I think it's still Christian Kirk. I think that when you have a guy that's in the slot versus, and the Ravens have been playing better against the slot receiver. I believe you are the Ravens expert, so correct if I'm wrong, but I believe they took out what's-his-face Williams from the slot. They started using other players like Kyle Hamilton in recent weeks, which is kind of how they were struggling recently. There was another guy they also played, one of their other cornerbacks. They put Humphrey in the slot in one of their last games. So I was actually lower on Kirk this week because I thought that they might put more of Humphrey on Kirk inside and then keep Zay Jones on the outside with some of their more people cornerbacks. So I think it's really much a base thing. I think it was on 9 targets in this game. So I'm not really worried about him long term. I just think it was a matchup that, Zay Jones kind of saw more opportunities today.
Yeah, and Kyle Hamilton, of course, missed this game. He's been playing really well about the last or so. And you're right, the Ravens are very willing to move Marlon Humphrey into the slot when they feel that's the other team's best guy. So that's something to keep in mind for, offenses going against the Ravens in the future. We already mentioned, Christian Kirk. He did have 9 targets, but only 4 catches, 46 yards. Jermichael Hasty, we touched on already, too. 12 carries, just 28 yards. But he did have 5 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown on a really nice wheel route. And then on the Ravens side of things, Mark Andrews dropped a sure touchdown. It was the easiest touchdown catch he'll ever have in his life. Bounced right off his hands. He had 4 catches for 50 yards on 7 targets. Josh Oliver actually got the touchdown among the tight ends for the Ravens. He had 76 yards on 6 targets. DeSean Jackson, we talked about it when he first came back, 62-yard bomb. It wasn't the 50-yard touchdown that I had anticipated, but it was a 62-yard bomb that came in a really crucial spot. And if he didn't trip, it could have easily been, an even longer touchdown late in the fourth quarter. Lamar just has had a lot of bad luck with touchdowns lately. He just barely missed a rushing touchdown. He actually got it, and they overturned it. And then, of course, he missed that pass touchdown to Andrews. He finished 16 of 32 for 254 yards and 1 passing touchdown, 89 yards on the ground, but no touchdown. Just quickly on Lamar, it's been a bit of a struggle again, some sort of bad touchdown luck. Do you think we should be moving him down the rest of season quarterback rankings?
I think that he's probably in the bottom of the, elite tier of the fantasy quarterbacks. I think that he's behind Mahomes, Herbert, Josh Allen. I probably bucket him probably next to Kyler Murray. Murray looked healthy today, so that obviously bodes well for him. Lamar just doesn't have weapons. It's ridiculous that it's Duvernay and DeMarcus Robinson are his two top wide receivers, and these guys would be wide receiver fours on most teams. So
it's really noticeable. It's really noticeable for me because I watched the game so closely, and you go immediately turn from that to red zone and you see Keenan Allen and DeAndre Hopkins and DK Metcalf and all these guys in the late games, just wide receiver Davante Adams making a crazy one-handed catch. They just look different than the guys in the Ravens do. Now, those guys are elite players. They look different from a lot of players, but it's just the gap is way too wide. It really is tough to watch the Ravens offense at times just when the receivers cannot get separation at all. And then just lastly on the running game, Gus Edwards, 16 carries, 52 yards, and a touchdown. He did lose a fumble, but pretty clearly still RB1 in this offense, at least until J.K. Dobbins returns.
Yeah, I mean, they went right back to him when he was healthy. Justice Hill, 1 carry, 3 yards. Kenyon Drake, 2 carries for 2 yards. So I think it's pretty clear that you're riding the Gus bus as long as J.K. Dobbins is out of commission.
The Ravens host the Broncos next week, so definitely start the Ravens defense. And the Jaguars are at the Lions, so we definitely should see a fourth straight really good performance from that passing game you would expect. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Air Medcare Network. Now, in fantasy football, we do everything we possibly can to be prepared for any scenario, but sometimes the unexpected still happens. And when it happens in our game, we can chalk it up to bad luck and move on to the next week. But when emergency strikes in real life, that's the scary stuff. And it's why I want to make sure you are fully prepared with Air Medcare Network. When medical emergencies inevitably pop up, Air Medcare Network gives members the absolute best possible air transport services to the nearest hospital with zero cost out of pocket. It's less than $100 a year to cover your entire family. And frankly, what wouldn't you pay for the peace of mind of knowing that no matter what happens, you are mere minutes away from the best possible care? Whether you're an adventurous family always towing the line or an indoors family who prefers to take it easy, emergencies can and will find you. So be prepared with Air Medcare Network, who is currently offering our listeners a $50 gift card with your new membership. Just visit airmedcare.com/fantasypros and use offer code fantasypros for the peace of mind no one should live without. Next game up, Panthers 23, those aforementioned Broncos 10. DJ Moore, just anytime this guy's a quarterback that's not Baker Mayfield, he looks awesome. Only 6 targets, but 103 yards and a touchdown. He was the only wide receiver in this game for the Panthers, at least, to get more than 3 targets. He was their entire passing game.
Yep, 35% target share, 103 yards, like you said. I believe this is his 4th touchdown. So look, people, there probably aren't going to be any more scores because DJ Moore has hit his quota of 4 touchdowns in a season. So it's time to get off of a DJ Moore. No, I mean, look, DJ Moore is a uber talented player. And when he has like a new quarterback, it seems like the first time these quarterbacks start, also, they always jam targets to DJ Moore. But yeah, I think this is probably a sell high situation for me for DJ Moore. But with most trade deadlines passed, I think that Moore is still kind of a risky wide receiver two, low end wide receiver two every single week. But it was good to see him have a pop off here and really no one else got any involvement.
Dante Foreman continues to get a ton of volume in this offense. 24 carries, 113 yards, no touchdown. Chuba Hubbard also had 17 carries. They ran the ball a ton in this game, just 65 yards for him. Sam Darnold, just to mention, in this, you know, first start of the season, 11 for 19, 164 yards and a touchdown. Certainly nobody you're starting. You care more about just what he means for the rest of the offense. Terrace Marshall has had some nice games lately, the best stretch of his career, you know, early on. But today, just 1 catch for 8 yards on 3 targets. So Darnold was not looking his way. And then on the Broncos side of things, to me, the biggest takeaway is Latavius Murray, 13 carries, 92 yards. He dominated touches.
Yep. Yeah. 78% opportunity share. Marlon Mack, 2 carries for 7 yards, 1 target. So, and Murray looked good. Like, you know, he was ripping off some big runs. He didn't, again, like he only mentioned 32, he only had 13 carries, but he almost had 100 rushing yards. And I mean, this Denver Broncos passing game is just, it's so bad. Like up and down the board, Cortland Sutton puts up the same stat line every single week. Just like, you know, 6 for 70, 7 for 80, no touchdowns. Like you're like, okay, whatever, I'll take it. And then it's just the fact that he's getting out targeted by guys like, you know, Kendall Hinton had 9 targets. It's just,
I was going to ask, do you care at all about Kendall Hinton?
I mean, you shouldn't. But the fact that he is still getting targets as the number two receiver, I think that does matter in some deep performance. Now that we're not all past bye weeks, I think he's really more of a guy you like look at a DFS. Not really someone you could rely. I mean, it's the worst passing offense in the NFL. It's the worst offense in the NFL. Like, you don't want to have ancillary pieces. I know Brandon Johnson caught the touchdown today, but Greg Dulcich actually caught the touchdown first, got called back because of a penalty, which just, you know, a couple bad games in a row now for Dulcich, which is really hard to see because he's had really great usage.
Yeah, and tight end such a wasteland. I think it is important to note that he did have a touchdown. It was just taken off the board because that's like a glimmer of hope at a position where there are very few, you know, sparks for optimism. Like I mentioned, Broncos at Ravens next week, and the Panthers are on bye next week. Only 2 teams on bye. It's the Panthers and the Cardinals. Let's move to our next game. Browns 23, Buccaneers 17. That game was in overtime. It was a Nick Chubb walk-off. to win that one for Cleveland. We already talked about Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, 9 targets, just 2 catches for 31 yards. So a really poor game for him. Julio Jones, also a poor game, 3 catches on 4 targets for 40 yards. Anything to make note of there with the wide receivers outside of Godwin?
No, I mean, kind of typical. I mean, Julio, there's really no number three receiver you can start. They're still rotating the tight ends with Otten and Cameron Brate, which is just so unfortunate because Cameron Brate has no connection whatsoever with Brady. Every time they play together, they just like he just makes mistakes. So I really wish they would just use Kate Otten in the full-time role, but that doesn't seem to be the case here. But, you know, excited to see the Buccaneers running backs, which you'll get into.
Our coworker, Mike Mayer, just to give us a quick note that Travis Etienne says he's okay. He had that quote after the game. So something to keep in mind as sort of the biggest name guy to get hurt today. And then, yeah, you talk about the running backs. I mean, Rashad White, 14 carries, 64 yards, 9 catches on 9 targets for 45 yards, no touchdown. There was no Leonard Fournette, obviously. So I think a lot of people were excited about Fournette in this one.
Yeah, 85% opportunity share. You know, Keyshawn Vaughn had 4 carries for 15 yards. You know, besides that, really not involved whatsoever. And the fact that he caught all of his targets, like every time Brady threw him the ball, he caught it. Like that is putting him in the trust with Tom Brady. So I don't think that Leonard Fournette's going to get his job back here. I think it's Rashad White's job the rest of the way. It would not surprise me at all if Leonard Fournette just doesn't really have much of a role moving forward.
And this is something people have been calling for since early in the season. They've wanted to see more Rashad White. So exciting to see him get the usage, at least even if the, you know, scoring wasn't there today. Nick Chubb, like I mentioned, just another great Nick Chubb day against a strong rush defense, 26 carries, 116 yards and a touchdown. He continues to be great. Amari Cooper, 7 catches, 94 yards, team high, 12 targets. We already talked about Njoku. I asked you about Njoku with Deshaun Watson. What do you make of this passing game as a whole with Deshaun Watson coming back? Is Amari Cooper, are they all going to rise in your rankings? Are there certain guys you think will be, you know, more, have a better chemistry with him? What do you expect to see out of this offense?
I think that Cooper's in a good spot. Peoples Jones is in a good spot to bounce back. And someone to really keep an eye on, like someone that you should add off the waiver wire to see how things play out, is David Bell, because he had another 6-target outing today. And this isn't the first time. If you look at the box score, just like 6 targets, 5 targets. 5 targets, like it's starting to steadily increase every single week. And I've been making note of it in the usage report every single week. Like, hey, like David Bell, like very talented rookie out of Purdue, like keep an eye on this guy. Cause I know I like Peoples Jones, but if Deshaun Watson comes in and decides, no, David Bell in the slot, like that's the guy I want to hit and target, then you're going to be happy you stashed him now before he has a big game, which could be next week.
Yeah, man. Browns at Texas. Nick Chubb, I mean, he should be RB1 in every rank. He's going to rush for 300 yards in that one. The Bucs are going to host the Saints on Monday Night Football next week. Before we move on with the show, I just want to quickly let everybody know, if you're not currently a premium subscriber, we have an awesome deal going on right now that gets you 6 free months of access to all of our premium features and content. This includes full access to all of our My Playbook tools, like the Waiver Assistant, Trade Analyzer, if your league doesn't have a trade deadline, Start Sit Assistant, Autopilot, along with our DFS tools and all of our Discord channels. Again, check out this great deal for 6 free months of full access to our tools and Discord over at fantasypros.com/offers. Next game up, Dolphins 30, Texans 15. This game was not as close as it says. It was 30-0 before the Dolphins set Tua, and their defense sort of fell apart a little late. There really weren't many eye-popping stat lines in this one. I put down for my fantasy takeaway Jordan Akins, 5 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown on 5 targets. But like I said, there really wasn't much in this game to point to. The guys you thought would be good were good, not amazing. And the guys you thought you'd be bad were bad. I guess Damian Pierce, just 5 carries for 8 yards. He also had 3 catches for 8 yards on 6 targets. That's really the only guy that was sort of a surprising stat line to me.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Akins, I am Jordan Akins truther. So shout out to me. I love Jordan Akins. I've always have. And so I'm always happy to see whenever he pops off these big plays, even though he lost an egregious fumble. He got absolutely smashed in the Miami Dolphins defense. The Dolphins defense actually made a lot of plays in this game, which negatively impacted the offense because they were scoring points and not necessarily the defense was scoring points. So that kind of reflects the stat line. But Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle combined for 50% of the team's target share, which is kind of what they do. Like, that's basically a regular thing that they do every single week. Thought Jeff Wilson looked good before he left the game and then came back. So he's fine, but, you know, 39 yards and a touchdown. You know, you're happy with that you started him. Obviously, it wasn't this like top 10 guy that we all kind of thought he might be, but you know, you're going to take it. It wasn't a bad performance in any way. I will say Nico Collins, again, new quarterback, 9 targets, 24% target share. I was happy to see that. So I still think that he's like in the fringe wide receiver three conversation. I still don't like Brandon Cooks. Like, he's not the number one receiver anymore. Like, 5 targets, 5 for 59, not the number one receiver anymore on the Texans. And look, Damian Pierce, he's very similar to Deontay Foreman in ways that if they're game scripted out, like, he's dust. Like, the same, like, that's why Foreman is like putting up these massive games and games where he just totally disappears, because if they're winning, then he has a chance to actually get the ball and run efficiently. But in games where they're just getting blown out 30-0, like, they're not going to use Damian Pierce. And I'd like to point out, like, Dari Ogunbowale, he got the first carry of the game. They actually started with two running backs in the formation. He didn't touch the ball until the middle of the third quarter when the game was already 30-0 and he scored the touchdown. So it's still like Pierce's backfield. But if the Texans can't stay competitive, you're going to see games like this for Damian Pierce, which is just unfortunate. And, you know, they're playing the Browns next week. It's just something you have to take into consideration when you start Pierce, as he doesn't have a very high floor.
So to be clear, because I was going to ask this, you don't think this is a bit of a rookie wall for Pierce? You think it's purely game strip? Because the last two games combined, he has 15 carries for 16 total yards, 5 catches for 17 total yards. That's over two games combined. So to you, that's not a long-term rookie wall sort of situation. It's just the team's been in a bad position.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team's in a bad position. I mean, I think that he's a rookie running back. I think that he would be fine. I mean, it's not like they're not giving the ball to anybody else, really. So it's not there, oh, we got to take it out of his hands. It's like, oh, we're down by 30 points. We got to throw the ball. Like, we got to do something a little bit different on offense. And they're trying new things, like just starting a new quarterback, Kyle Allen. Like, that clearly didn't really work today. So they just need to play. I mean, they're playing the Browns. Like, the Browns have the league's worst run defense, if it's not the Texans. So I think Pierce is probably in a better bounce. And Miami, give credit to them, they have another good run defense. Like, it wasn't Washington's run defense, but it's another good run defense. The Browns, we saw with Rashad White, horrible run defense. So I think that Pierce, it will bounce back.
The Texans host the Browns next week, as we said. The Dolphins are at the 49ers. Really good slate next week. A lot of really fun games and matchups. So that'll be a fun one in week 13. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a quick moment to talk about DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is my go-to when betting on the NFL this holiday season. Not only do they have same-game parlays and tons of player prop options, but most importantly, their payouts are fast and easy. There's nothing worse than hitting on a big bet, and then the book makes it impossible to actually get your money. That doesn't happen with DraftKings. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. And that's not all. Right now, everybody can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. You just have to go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same-game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, player props, point totals, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost, the bigger your shot to win big. Folks listening know I'm a Ravens fan already, but homerism aside, I love betting on their games because they're so consistent. With their easy remaining schedule and lack of receivers, I'm parlaying a Ravens win and Mark Andrews receiving yards prop every chance I get. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use code FANTASYPROS, place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game, and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Next game up, Jets 31, Bears 10. This game was interesting because it wasn't the same two quarterbacks we saw for these teams. In the last couple of weeks, we had Mike White for New York and Trevor Siemian for Chicago. We thought we might get a Nathan Peterman game at one point this morning, which was pretty exciting for those who love fun, bad football. But the real takeaway here is Mike White, 315 yards, 3 touchdowns, 22 of 28 passing. Looked awesome.
Yeah, I mean, when you're compared to Zach Wilson, it's really hard to not look awesome. So credit to Mike White. Dude, he just kept it simple, man. Just get the ball to your playmakers and let them make plays. Like, that's all he did, and it worked out for him. You know, Garrett Wilson, oh my God. I saw the Reddit memes, Garrett Wilson, Dobby is free, you know, when they first made the quarterback switch, and that's all I could think about when Garrett Wilson was running for these touchdowns. Just, like, how happy these pass catchers, Elijah Morris going out scoring touchdowns. Like, they're just all having a great time, and Zach Wilson must be feeling sick to himself. I was like, man, like, I was holding this team back, so Garrett Wilson, 5 catches, 85 yards, and 2 touchdowns, 29% target share. So no one else on the Jets saw more than 3 targets. So Garrett Wilson is the alpha in this offense. Corey Davis came back, didn't matter. You know, it was still Garrett Wilson's show. So, and also keep that in mind with Elijah Moore. Like, he had two targets. So I know he caught a 42-yard touchdown. I know that people might think, oh my God, like, he's back. Like, it's like, no, like, he's still, like, the secondary piece. It's still Garrett Wilson number one. And it remains to be seen if this offense can really support multiple wide receivers with Mike White at quarterback. So those are the things to kind of keep in mind. And obviously, we talked about the Jets. Michael Carter is probably going to miss some time with this ankle injury. I think Mike Mayer updated us on it's an ankle sprain. So I think it's probably going to be committed between the three backs that we talked about already.
Yeah, I think we're all sort of uniformly really excited about Garrett Wilson. Obviously, uber talented. You loved him in the draft. And as long as he doesn't have Zach Wilson throwing to him, appears to be able to unlock that potential. But I'm glad you mentioned Elijah Moore, because that is the question I wanted to ask. Just the two targets, obviously a ton of the production, you know, it was literally just two catches. So it was the 21, I think, yard touchdown and then the 40-yard catch. So knowing that and knowing that it might have been a fluky performance, would you, like, how much would you go out and spend on him in Fab, for example, if he was dropped and is on the waiver wire?
I mean, I probably wouldn't spend, you know, significantly amount. I mean, I think that he's probably, I need to look and see how much his snaps were and his routes were, because he was buried in that, you know, heading into this week. And I'm interested to see if it upticked, you know, if his role changed. If he's at like the 50% mark again, then I will be kind of concerned about, like, he's still not a full-time player. If he's still running behind Corey Davis. But you look at the matchup, they're playing the Vikings next week. Like that is a very good matchup against a horrible secondary that Mac Jones and Nelson Aguilar lit up on Thanksgiving night. So definitely exploitable. You need to start someone. I know we said we got the Cardinals on bye and the Panthers. So if you've been relying on some of these Cardinals wide receivers, that's someone that you can probably plug in off the waiver wire as a start with Elijah Moore as a wide receiver four type play.
I'll just run through the stat lines for the Bears, but I really don't think it's worth spending time on here, because without Justin Fields, it's just a totally different offense. David Montgomery, 14 carries, 79 yards, 3 catches for 34 yards. He was technically the emergency quarterback when they thought that Simeon might not play and it was going to be just Nathan Peterman. That would have been interesting to watch. Chase Claypool, 2 catches, 51 yards on 5 targets. And Cole Kmet, 6 targets, just 3 catches, 27 yards. Jets are at the Vikings next week, like you mentioned. The Bears host the Packers. Hopefully Justin Fields is back for that one. Let's move to Bengals 20, Titans 16. T. Higgins hasn't quite exploded in the way we thought he might have with Ja'Marr Chase missing the last four games, but he was really great today. 7 catches on a team high, 9 targets, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Just looked like an alpha.
Yeah, I mean, he just goes up and gets the ball. Like he doesn't create a lot of separation. Like, he's not one of these, you know, he's not a Justin Jefferson-esque player. He's very different from Ja'Marr Chase. But when the ball's in the air, the dude just goes and gets it. And Joe Burrow is not afraid to kind of throw it in his radius where he can come down and make a play. So, look, he's going to continue to feast as long as Chase misses games. And we've seen it before, even when Chase is healthy. Like, it's pick your poison, you know. And so Higgins is going to remain a staple in this passing game, whether Chase is active or not. And it's just a matter of, you know, how far does Tyler Boyd fall? Because Tyler Boyd has disappeared the last couple of weeks, you know, even with Chase has been out.
Weirdly, he was better when Chase was on the field than he has been without him.
Yeah. So I really think that it's, you know, Boyd is really competing with Hayden Hurst for targets on a week-to-week basis. It's really like one of those guys kind of pops up. Like, Hurst obviously had the more productive game here, 6 for 57. He also had 9 targets, whereas Boyd, you know, just kind of fell to the wayside. So, and when you're kind of comparing, like, the tight end versus the receiver, it's like, well, I'd rather have a Hayden Hurst because he's a tight end, and like that gives me a little bit more of an advantage versus Tyler Boyd, which you can easier replace with a wide receiver. I mean, like, when Chase first went down, I traded Tyler Boyd for Garrett Wilson. Like, and, you know, it was before Chase went down. So it's like, oh man, like, it was a bad choice. And now looking back, it's like, oh, now I'm a genius. which we're talking about fantasy trades. It's fantasy trades. The winner can change every single week. Like, you may make a trade, you win one week. The next week, it looks dumb. The next week, you look smart. So that's why you should never make trades, which is like, oh, I want to win this trade, because it can change literally every single week of who is the actual winner. So something to keep in mind.
Samaje Perine, 17 carries, 58 yards, and a touchdown. Also 4 catches on 7 targets for 35 yards. This came in a pretty tough matchup against the Titans. So that's fairly impressive and just shows he's a perfectly capable and good handcuff if you have Joe Mixon. And again, Mixon's out, he's probably worth a start. Derrick Henry, 17 carries, 38 yards, 3 catches, 79 yards on 3 targets, but he fumbled just shy of the goal line. It was covered by Treylon Burks in the end zone. So, you know, a bit of a fantasy heartbreak there for Derrick Henry managers. still, you know, not a terrible day. Didn't kill you because of that long catch and run, but certainly not an effective day or an efficient day. And he didn't get in the end zone for you. Treylon Burks, like we mentioned, did have that fumble recovery. Also a really nice contested catch in the middle of the field on a deep pass, just four catches for 70 yards, but starting to come along. Are you excited about him rest of the season?
Yeah. I mean, this back-to-back weeks where we've seen him be the team leader in terms of targets, you know, he tied with Nick Westbrook here with 6 targets. You know, hey, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. so he fell in the end zone, got the touchdown. So if you started him, which, you know, I had him as a top 30 receiver, I think 31, I had him ranked. So, I mean, I wasn't like opposed to him catching the falling in the end zone on the touchdown. But it wasn't like some dude that no one had playing. At least we had that. So, yeah, Treylon Burks is definitely stock up.
And I know I saw on Twitter there are some leagues out there where that doesn't count as a touchdown for
Slam.
Burks managers, which is just a terrible.
So who does it count for? So the points just go into oblivion?
It was like, no, it was like Burks, but it's like an other touchdown, I think is what I saw, not a receiving touchdown. Or like, I don't know why it wouldn't just be a fumble recovery, but I guess if you're not on the defense, maybe your league doesn't give you.
I thought it counted as a rushing touchdown. I don't know.
I don't know what it ended up being officially, but I saw some people on Twitter saying that they weren't getting credit for it, and that is terrible. The Titans are at the Eagles next week, another really fun one. And the Bengals, also a fun one, are going to host the Chiefs, a rematch of the AFC Championship game. Again, a really great Week 13 slate we have to look forward to. Last game of the early afternoon slate, Commanders 19, Falcons 13. Brian Robinson, we've seen flashes dating back to August, obviously, of the potential RB1 and a guy that people would get pretty excited about in this offense. We really saw it all come together in this one. 18 carries, 105 rushing yards, also 3 catches on 3 targets, 20 yards, and a touchdown. And it was a really impressive touchdown where he you know, had to bowl over a couple of guys. Just a really good performance. Do you think that he has overtaken Antonio Gibson in this backfield, or are we still going to see some weeks where Gibson's the guy?
I think it's been too flip-flop for me to say confidently one, because last week Antonio Gibson played his highest snap share of the season, and then they just changed it. So, you know, it could have been because of the game conditions. It was rainy, it was wet. It's like, all right, let's get our bulldozer back in there. Makes sense to me. So, you know, there really is no clear lead back here. I think Gibson still, you know, is the preferred receiving back of the two, but, you know, Brian Robinson showed that he could make plays in the receiving game. Like, I was shocked that he caught that pass and then was able to make it into a touchdown. So give credit to him. He's making plays and he's much more efficient on the ground. But I was just happy that Curtis Samuel didn't do anything in the receiving game, because I was right. Like, I was just trying to fade Curtis Samuel for the longest time. I'm just like, no, he's not scoring a rushing touchdown this week. He got 0 targets this week, by the way. He's not in the box score. He only has rushing production.
Wow. Terry McLaurin in the receiving game, 4 catches, 48 yards, team high, 6 targets. And then on the Falcons side, Olamide Zaccheaus had 5 for 91 on a team high 8 targets. So noticeable there that Drake London, who only had 4 targets, just 29 yards, continues to not get the usage that we want to see for the guy who was the first receiver drafted this year. And then in the rushing game, Tyler Algier, 11 carries. Cordarrelle Patterson, also 11 carries. They finished with 54 and 52 yards, respectively. So almost identical days from them, at least on the ground. Commanders are at Giants next week, and the Falcons will host the Steelers. Let's get into the late afternoon. What's that?
Ryan, one thing I want to mention about Cordarrelle Patterson. He got a receiving usage boost today without Kyle Pitts. Like, he has not had a game with 5 targets all year long. I don't even need to look it up because I know it. Like, I just know for a fact, like, he doesn't. So that's something to keep in mind with Patterson, that as a converted wide receiver, they could be using him more in the passing game without Kyle Pitts.
He actually had 5 targets in week 1 against the Saints.
Okay, so it's been since week 1. Okay.
Yes, it has. Every other target number is 1-0 or last week 2. So,
okay.
Yeah, that definitely is the outlier there. We'll move to Chargers 25, Cardinals 24, a really good one. Another game where a team, you know, got the game tying touchdown and then ended up going for 2 to win it. So, you know, the analytics movement continues. Austin Eckler, 5 carries, 20 yards rushing, but 11 catches on a team high 15 targets for 60 yards and a touchdown. Just continues to be a great dual threat guy. It just, I mean, those kind of passing numbers are ridiculous for a running back.
Yeah, I think this is also part of the matchup. The Arizona Cardinals are one of these teams that they protect the perimeter and they just give up yards after the catch, which in translation means a lot of running back targets. So they're more than happy to give up. And at this point, it's like, you know, with Eckler, you saw that they rushed the ball 5 times. It's like, well, why rush the ball when we can just throw it to Eckler and it will do the same thing? Like, it's the exact type of gain, except in fantasy, you get way more points if he just catches a ball for 5 yards versus rushing the ball for 5 yards. So
and helpful, I mean, for Eckler, Herbert too, because he gets those yards instead of just Eckler. Herbert finished 35 of 47, 274 yards, 3 touchdowns. Actually led the team in rushing, just 38 yards though. DeAndre Carter, 73 yards and a touchdown on 10 targets. Josh Palmer had 56 yards, 5 catches on 7 targets. No touchdown for him. And then Keenan Allen, 5 catches on 7 targets for 49 yards. And a touchdown. No Mike Williams in this one, obviously. But DeAndre Carter, I mean, I think he's somebody that we probably weren't excited about starting when there are at least two of these other three guys like Palmer and Williams and Allen in there. Again, obviously, we had two of them in there today in Palmer and Allen. So I don't think he was starting a lot of places, but he's a guy who can have these spike weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the field. Like, he played a lot last week. I know Keenan Allen was first coming back, so it was no guarantee. But it just goes, you know, Justin Herbert threw the ball 47 times. Like, naturally, that's going to be able to help support. And they ran ball with their lead running back had 5 carries. Like, they don't need to run. They don't want to run the football. They're not an efficient running football team. So this is a team that can support easily multiple wide receivers. And, you know, it's got to be going to be DeAndre Carter every week. You know, I would expect Keenan Allen and Josh Palmer to be the guys you want to start. And Carter's really only someone that you look to in a pinch because, hey, worst case scenario, oh, he's in an offensive pass a lot. Justin Herbert's his quarterback. Like, it's worth a flyer.
James Conner was really good. 25 carries, 120 yards on the ground, 20 yards through the air, and a touchdown just on 3 targets. Kyler Murray, 18 of 29, 191 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Also had 56 and a touchdown on the ground. DeAndre Hopkins, typical Hopkins things, 87 yards and a touchdown. Hollywood Brown, 6 catches, 46 yards on 8 targets. What did you see out of him in his return?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he led the team in targets is a really good sign coming back, you know, from his injury. And I mean, does Robbie Anderson, did AJ Green even play in this game? Like, I don't think I saw him on the box score. I mean, Robbie Anderson and Trey McBride both had 3 targets. They're just anybody but those guys. Like, there's like Hopkins, we want to give the ball to Marcus Brown, James Conner, like, and no one else touches the ball.
AJ Green had 1 catch for 5 yards.
Okay. Sounds like AJ Green.
next week, the Chargers are at the Raiders. The Cardinals, like I mentioned earlier, are on bye next week. Speaking of the Raiders, 40-34 victory for them over the Seahawks. We cannot praise Josh Jacobs enough. Again, just because it's such a fun line. 33 carries, 229 yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns, plus 6 catches on 7 targets. For 74 yards through the air. An awesome, awesome, awesome day by him. Davante Adams had a sick one-handed catch. 7 catches for 74 yards on 11 targets. Mac Collins, Amir Abdullah, Foster Moreau all had touchdown receptions this game. So Derek Carr was really spreading the ball around, at least in the red zone. And then on the Seahawks side of it, Kenneth Walker had a long of 14 today, and he finished with 26 yards on 14 carries. So those other 13 carries did basically nothing, but he got in the end zone twice on 2 actually really impressive runs. So definitely saved your fantasy day if you started him, but obviously not the efficiency that you would have wanted to see out of him. Any concern there at all?
No, I mean, he's someone that's always trying to, I shouldn't say always trying to, but, you know, he wants to try to hit that home run play. He just hasn't really hit it the last couple weeks. So I don't think it's a concern. You know, he still rushed for the 2 touchdowns here. So I think that you're fine with Kenneth Walker moving forward. And I will say, just on the Seahawks or on the Raiders side, oh my God, I was so happy when Foster Moreau caught that touchdown because he's just been so horrible every single week. And I'm like, I keep telling people to start him because guys, like, he's playing all the snaps. Like, eventually he has to do something. And of course, came against the Seahawks. We're the worst team against tight ends. So I'm very happy that Foster Moreau on his 3 for 7 targets, his 3 catches, one of them was a touchdown.
Yeah, finally. DK Metcalf, 11 catches, team high 15 targets, 90 yards. Tyler Lockett had a touchdown, 3 catches, 68 yards on 7 targets. The Seahawks are at the Rams next week. Their season is going down the toilet fast. The Raiders again host the Chargers. Speaking of the Rams, they lost to the Chiefs 26-10. Again, not really a ton of major fantasy takeaways. The guys you expected to do good things did good things. Isaiah Pacheco, 22 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. Also had 17 yards on 1 catch through the air. I mean, just not only this game, but sort of the last couple of weeks combined. Like, what are you seeing out of him as RB1 in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I've liked what I've seen from Pacheco. He's been efficient with the ball in his hands. You know, not super involved as a receiver. So, that obviously, Jarrett McKinnon has that role, but I mean, I know Ronald Jones actually got to play in this game. I was like, well, like Ronald Jones, I forgot he was on the Chiefs. Like, there he goes. But Pacheco's got the early down roll locked and loaded. And something I've been noting about, like, when I've talked about trading for Pacheco, the Chiefs have a great fantasy schedule or playoff schedule for running backs. Like, and the fact of the matter is the Chiefs can't always throw the ball every single play like that they want to. Like, when they're trying to win games, like, they need someone to actually close out the game. So I think that Pacheco is kind of turning into that guy that they like, that he can feed carries to because he can rip off big plays. And, you know, to see him finally score here, you know, that was the reason why we saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire like be a top 10 running back to start the year, because he kept scoring touchdowns. So we knew that there's a path where Pacheco can get that role and score some touchdowns. So it was happy to see him score in the red zone today.
Travis Kelce, 4 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Team high 8 targets. Juju Smith-Schuster didn't do much, obviously coming off the concussion. 3 catches, 38 yards on 3 targets. Sky Moore had 5 catches on 6 targets, just 36 yards, though. And then on the Rams side, Van Jefferson, 3 catches, 29 yards, and a touchdown. Obviously with Perkins at quarterback, I mean, this whole offense is falling apart. Cam Akers, 8 carries, 37 yards. Kyron Williams, 11 carries, but only 35 yards. I mean, is there anything to even make note of with this offense, or are we just ignoring it flat out until at the very least Stafford's back, if not just the rest of the year?
Did Higbee do anything?
He didn't have a stat line that I want to write. No, well, he didn't, at least according to the NFL's website. He had 0 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards.
All right. Well, not good for Tyler Higbee. I mean, because you want to say, okay, there's no Robinson, like, maybe you could, but no, like, it's just bad all around. They're playing the Seahawks, or no, Seahawks are playing the Rams next week, so it's a bad matchup on the perimeter.
Van Jefferson did have seven targets, which isn't nothing. Nobody else in the offense had more than 4. Skowronek had 4. Kyron Williams had 3. McCutcheon had 3. Everybody else was 2 or 1. So Van Jefferson did get a decent target share. It's just in such a bad offense that I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I think that it's, you're playing Van Jefferson and you're totally desperate because you need a warm body. So,
yeah, pretty much. Chiefs, like I mentioned, are at the Bengals next week. The Rams are going to host the Seahawks. And then last game, 49ers 13. They shut out the Saints. Saints 0. In our fantasy takeaway section in the notes, I wrote in all caps, nothing, because I didn't think there was anything to take away from this game. Brandon Ayuk had 5 catches on a team high 8 targets, just 65 yards. Juwan Jennings had 6 catches. He did get a touchdown, 49 yards, 7 targets. George Kittle, 3 for 43 on 7 targets. So I don't think in the passing game there was really anything notable. Really, if anything, it's the running game, CMC, and the usage and the inefficiency. 11 carries for 32 yards, rushing 4 catches, 17 yards on 6 targets. Not the worst usage in the world, but sort of not what you come to expect from a guy like CMC. And I think there were some notes on Twitter of his knee being banged up a little. Did you see any of that?
I didn't see anything about McCaffrey in particular. I know that we got still some updates knee. From yeah. Mayo about Elijah Mitchell with a possible MCL sprain. And look, Mitchell has been one of these running backs that, you know, one of the reasons I didn't like a lot in the offseason, because he's like, he's just a small running back. He just gets banged up. So I know Mitchell looked better today, but and I know that he's really been hurting on CMC's usage. Well, now the problem may be out of the way. Like that's just the fact of the matter. If he's hurt, then we're going to go back to CMC in the game that Elijah Mitchell wasn't in the picture when CMC was playing basically every single down. So I don't think it's going to be like, we're going to see Tyrion Davis Price come in and take on Elijah Mitchell role. I don't think they view them in a similar manner. At least I don't view it that way. So I think it's a good thing for McCaffrey managers heading into their fantasy postseason that this isn't probably going to be a regular thing. The targets are still there, which is great. But this was a matchup between two really good defenses, I think, which is why it's like you look at it from a fantasy perspective, you're like, this is kind of gross. Like this still isn't a great game. So.
And the other guy who got carries wasn't, you know, Tyrion Davis Price, obviously, who wasn't even active, I don't think. But it was Jordan Mason who got 5 carries for 25 yards. So
and he if was Mitchell a misses, special teams guy, yeah.
Yeah, and if Mitchell misses time and you never expect the 49ers to go all in on just one guy, even a guy as talented as CMC, probably worth a flyer to at least, you know, consider Mason if you have the room and just want to spend a little bit of fab on him. Chris Olave for the Saints, 5 catches, team high 9 targets, 62 yards. He's really good, just stuck in a bad offense. Alvin Kamara, 7 carries for 13 yards, 6 catches, 37 yards, also fumbled. I mean, getting to be borderline unstartable just has not been good. Again, as long as his offense continues to look like the way
it
does.
He did fumble like at the goal, like he was going to score.
Yeah,
and then he fumbled. Like Hunter that's Henry, fair. Like how Hunter Henry was supposed to score, but you know, they said it was incomplete. So
that's fair. I'm pulling up his game log here. I mean, yeah, like the last couple of games,
he's
even before
he's had tough
today,
matchups though. Like, they've been pretty
brutal. The Rams, he had 42 yards on the ground, 47 through the air. The Steelers, 26 on the ground, 19 through the air. The Ravens, 30 on the ground.
Yeah, he's played like the murderer's row of like tough run defenses.
He hasn't been a top
somewhere too.
He's only been a top 20 running back once in his last six games, and he was second in that week. It was against the Raiders when he was awesome.
And who does he play? Who does he play in the fantasy playoffs? Read off that schedule.
So he has the bye week in week 14. Interesting to note. But then he has the Falcons, the Browns, and then the Eagles.
Yeah.
So that
like that's Browns if you have Kamara, like that's what you're hoping for is that.
So just before we wrap up here on this offense, like when are we going to see Jameis Winston back as the starter? Because I feel like you can't get shut out and not make a QB change to the guy that was the starter at the beginning of the year.
I mean, I don't think so. I think that they're committed to Andy Dalton. I don't know why. No. I don't know if they think Winston is like healthy or not. I don't know. I just think, I mean, if Dalton didn't get benched after that game where he threw two pick sixes like back to back, I think that kind of tells you everything that you need to know about how they feel about him.
Yeah. Saints are at the Bucs on Monday Night Football, like I mentioned, and the 49ers are going to host the Dolphins. Again, probably the best game of the week for next week, I would think. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please be sure to come back each and every Sunday night at 7:45 Eastern as we recap the day's action all season long. Be sure to take advantage of the opportunities we mentioned with our deposit offers, Air Medcare Network, and DraftKings. Thank you, the fans, for listening. For Erickson and Deepak, I'm Ryan Warmly. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.